Hello and welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday for you talking about some of the biggest sports stories. I'm Michael Barr.
I'm Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Mike Lynch.
And we've got a lot to talk about today. The first story, though.
Happy New Year, by the way.
Forgive my manners. Happy New Year to you, Scarlett, to you, Lynchy, to you, Sarah, who's behind the glass, and to everybody out there. Happy New Year. I hope it was
here.
Hey.
So far, so good.
So far, knock on wood.
Everyone knocks on their head.
First story. This one I'm really torn about. Antonio Brown. Now, let me start. Tampa Bay beat the Jets in a comeback from behind win. I believe it was 28-24. Tom Brady, of course, always comes through old number 12. Just, you know, kick butt for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Tale as old as time.
All this time. You know, old number 12 coming in. But the story that everybody's talking about in this game is Antonio Brown. Who was a wideout for the Buccaneers. I'm watching this game and on television, and I thought as I'm watching it, they're showing warm-ups with Antonio Brown in the end zone until I realized, wait a minute, this is the game. Mm-hmm. What the Sam Hill is going on? And for people who don't know, apparently Brown and head coach Bruce Arians had a beef. And then all of a sudden, Brown throws off his jersey, throws off his pads, he throws off throws his gloves and T-shirt into the stands, and he's just bare-chested, and he's walking along the sidelines. He goes into the end zone, does a little dance, holds up the peace sign, and then goes into the locker room. And then right after that, Scarlett, after the game, that's when Arians said that Brown is no longer a Buck.
I'm totally confused by this. I don't know what the sequence of events is here. Obviously they had some kind of disagreement, but whether he was removed from the team first and then he did that, or he did that and then he was removed from the team, it's puzzling.
Well, apparently, from what was said, Arians said twice, come back here, as this incident is going on. And Brown said no, and then Lynchy, that's when Arians said, you're out of here.
Yeah, he's a very complex figure. There's people are trying to figure out the motive behind here. There were three incentive clauses in his contract. He can make an extra $1 million with 8 more catches. That would be $333,000. 55 more total yards is another $333,000. And one more touchdown reception is another $333,000, which adds up. He gets all three of them. That's an extra $1 million. People are trying to get inside his head. Was that the reason because he flipped out that he wasn't going to be playing and he would not reach those three incentives? Nobody can figure the guy out. Now, he's a very polarizing figure. Some people are saying, good riddance, get out of here. I never want to see you again. And a lot of people are saying this guy really needs some help before he does some harm to himself or to others. So there's two sides of the fences here, and people are very confused which side of the fence they're on right here. He's a polarizing, recalcitrant figure. He has been. Is the National Football League, have they been enablers? This guy has Tom Brady been an enabler? Mm. Brady actually had him living in his home, yeah. but because Brady thought that he was the type of player that needed structure in his life, you know, some place to go every single day to be accountable, be on a team, be on time at meetings, practice, games, etc., etc. And now, you know, the league will come down with some type of suspension, and it might be indefinitely. So he probably has played his last professional football game.
Also, he has a history of some off-the-field issues, right? I mean, he was recently suspended for 3 games for using a fake vaccination card, so that didn't help. And this was a 1-year contract that he had with the Bucks, right? It was, you know,
$3.1 million, right?
So what happens in terms of next year? You mentioned that this might be the last NFL game he ever plays. Was that a factor in how he behaved?
Well, keep in mind, you got to set the track record, too, because he's been with several teams. Obviously, he started with the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's when he really shined. And then the Steelers got tired of him and then sent him on his way. And I want to get the order right here.
Raiders next.
Then the Raiders were next. I don't even think he really played a game. Did not play a game at all.
He was on the roster but didn't play.
Didn't play. And then the Raiders sent him packing, and then the Patriots picked him up. And
which is how he hooked up with Tom Brady and how they know each other.
Right. He for a game and for the Patriots. And then they, you know, threw him out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to the Bucks. And it's – I thought – but see, there's so many things here involved. Like you said, Scarlett, not only with the fake
COVID card,
but there were also allegations of abuse, and this is a mess. And I hope he gets help, and his teammates around the league, a lot of them hope that he gets help. And knock on wood. Let's shift to something. Well, I guess this was supposed to be happier. But the title game next week for college football's national championship will be Georgia versus Alabama. That's because Alabama rolled over Cincinnati, and that's because Georgia rolled over Michigan. Michigan.
Bar's upset.
Yes. I'm sorry. It's my nostril flaring here. I love the mitten. Anything that comes out of the mitten, I love it. But boy, I was so disappointed, Scarlett, when that game ended.
Have you recovered?
No. I'm going to go home and I'm going to have a Yoo-hoo drink. And then I'm going to try to calm down after.
Are you going to watch the championship game then?
Yes, I got to watch the championship game. It's part of my.
You'll be hate watching it, basically.
You're right. I'll be a hater. Haters going to hate, and I'm going to watch the game because I have to. But now, in all seriousness, Alabama and Georgia, they played well. And Lynchy, I'm going to ask you. It's like I'm going to put you on the spot. This is going to be a good game.
It's going to be a good game. I like Alabama in this game. I think they just have too many athletes and too much speed. It's very interesting that I was trying to figure out, okay, what's the payout in this game? Is there a financial incentive? No extra money for the champion and no extra money for making it to the championship game. But the four teams that were in, Cincinnati, Michigan, Georgia, Alabama, each conference gets $6 million. So $6 million to the Big Ten, $6 million to the American Athletic Conference, and a double payout to the SEC because Georgia and Alabama are both from the same league. So the Southeast Conference gets $12 million just for those teams, four teams participating in the playoff. They get expenses a little bit more than $2.5 million per school to cover the band, the cheerleaders, the football staff, the hotels, the airplanes, et cetera, et cetera. So, all money aside, it's going to be a good game. I think Alabama wins and this is really a cash cow, this college football playoff. I'd like to see it expanded to eight teams.
Scarlett, I need some betting tips. Who are you looking at?
I mean, I don't know how to advise you, Michael Barr. I was just thinking as Lynch was summing everything up, Barr loses, SEC wins. I'm sorry, it's cruel.
Well, first of all, I apologize that the first loss was that I ended that sentence on a preposition, but that's another story altogether. but that's going to be a great game, folks. I would like to sit down and watch that. Let's talk about the Saudis on the verge of a $1 billion takeover of Italian football giant in Milan. Scar, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, the current Chinese owner, Suning, is looking for a buyer, and Suning's been doing this for a while, looking for some financial help. They bought control of Milan back in 2016, about 70% of the stock, but they haven't been doing well with it. I mean, the club recorded a loss of $300 million last fiscal year. There was obviously COVID restrictions, stadium closures. At one point, the club failed to pay regular salaries to its players last season, and we know that Milan would have been one of the teams that needed the Super League, and it would have been a beneficiary of the Super League that never came to pass. So they are looking for, I don't know, a white knight to come in, and perhaps it'll be Saudi Arabia's sovereign fund coming in with $1 billion.
I know Scar has got some money. Lynchy, can you and I put some coins together and get this team?
I don't think they need our help because they're managing about $400 billion right now, aren't they, Scarlett? I think in this public investment fund.
Yeah, this is the sovereign fund. I think they've got their bases covered. They're okay.
They don't need our nickels bar.
Man, and I had a good 22 cents in this thing too. Man. But you're right. I mean, it's like, you know, this is really going to happen. And I think we need to put in perspective for us in the U.S. And we, you know, it's. Soccer is way more than Ted Lasso, although that's a great show. But, I mean, we need to learn that soccer is the game of the world. I know we think it's the NFL, but soccer is the game of the world, Scar.
Soccer is the game of the world. And what's interesting to me also, looking at what's happening with Milan, is that the crosstown rival, AC Milan, also didn't have enough capital on hand a couple years ago, and creditors had to assume control. So Elliott Management, which is led by Paul Singer, took over the club after it failed to repay its debt. So this is something that Milan does not want to happen.
One thing we got to talk about is the Winter Classic. It was a success. But it was 5 below 0. That's windbreaker weather back in Michigan.
Windbreaker.
Oh, this Winter Classic. It's you know, you're a big hockey fan, Scarlett. I grew up skating up in New England when I was a kid, and there's nothing like being outdoors and seeing your breath while you're. But you know, -10 and a wind chill of -20. I mean, that's real Winter Classic.
That's this different
event
level.
Lived up to its name.
Yeah. I mean, to see the players and to see the spectators with ice forming on their mustaches, on their facial hair, that's a different level. But I mean,
it's Dr. Zhivago stuff.
Yeah. But I mean, in terms of how it plays on TV, it's exciting. It's interesting. It certainly gives everyone something to talk about. It's just unfortunate that the Wild didn't win the game in the end.
You know, I was in Minneapolis for Super Bowl against the Eagles, and I was there for 9 days, I believe. And every morning I'd wake up and I'd tweet what the temperature was, -6, -4, -1. When I got back to Boston, it was 39 degrees. And in my head, I added up the temperature every morning when I woke up. And all 9 of those days did not add up to 39 degrees.
It's nuts. My favorite anecdote from the Winter Classic is that the NHL had to keep insulated blankets on the ice to keep it warm because it was so cold that the ice would become brittle and therefore not really usable. The optimal surface temperature of an NHL ice sheet is 22 to 24 degrees, and it was too cold for that.
And here's my Bill Nye the Science Guy moment. The reason why, in order for skates to work, is that you have to have a little layer of water between the skate and the ice, because that's how you skate. Well, if it's like, you know, negative, you know, oh my God, why am I outside? You don't get that water, which is why it's very hard to skate in that and why the ice is brittle.
I like the fact also that the benches and the penalty boxes were heated and the players drank chicken broth out of their water bottles. I don't know if the water bottles were sponsored by Gatorade, but I mean, that'll be interesting.
It's one of the best things that the National Hockey League has ever done. I went to one at Fenway Park once, and it was just a blast. And they left the ice down and let high school teams and college teams play for a couple of weeks afterwards, which was really, really nice. You know, it was a big thrill for all those kids. But I loved it down there, and then the players loved it too. You know, it's unique. It's unique, and it's part of our growing up.
Well, thank you all very much for joining us on the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday talking to you, not only with some of the biggest names in sports, but some of the biggest sports stories. I'm Michael Barr. You can follow me on Twitter at Big Barr Sports.
I'm Scarlett Fu. I can be found on Twitter at Scarlett Fu.
I'm cold all of a sudden. I'm Mike Lynch. You can follow me at Lynchy WCBB.
Get that motorcycle going there, Lynchy. And guess what? If you want to catch this podcast, you can. Catch it wherever you get your podcast. You know why? Because we roll that way. We're just like that at Bloomberg.